Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
When you're building a business, you're doing something that's never been done, never been done by anybody, never been done by you. And to do those things, you just have to get, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode, I want to mention Trevor McGregor. Trevor is a real estate results coach. I've been paying him and working with him for years now. He actually is responsible for giving me the idea to do a podcast. So it's not only about transactions that he gives advice on, how to find more deals, how to make more money, but also how to build a holistic plan around your real estate entrepreneurship endeavors. That's what I love about working with Trevor, that and being held accountable for what I say I'm going to do and actually making sure that I follow through and do it. I feel like I'm a pretty results-oriented, accountable kind of person, but it's always nice to have someone who's there guiding you along the way and giving you strategy as well as psychology tips for how to deal with, you know, the things that come up as a real estate entrepreneur. Trevor has made a wonderful offer for the best ever listeners, and that is that he's offering a free coaching session. Go to coachwithtrevor.com. That's coachwithtrevor.com. Highly recommend him. I've worked with him before. I'm currently working with him right now as my business, as my real estate investing coach. Highly recommend you do the same. Take him up on his offer. Get a free coaching session. coachwithtrevor.com. Hi, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and happy Sunday. I hope you're having a wonderful Sunday. And in fact, I hope it's best ever Sunday. And if it isn't quite the best ever yet, well, then it's about to be, because you've got a Skill Set Sunday segment that we're about to do. And with us today, we have a previous best ever guest and one of my friends, Matt Rodak. How you doing, Matt?
Good, Joe. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, nice to have you on the show. And let's see. When Matt last joined us, it was in episode 7, whenever he gave his best advice ever. And so, and my gosh, I just want to take a moment. Episode 7. we're well into the 400 to 500s by now. I forget which episode it is, and your advice at the very beginning, best ever listeners, you got to check it out. It's on crowdfunding, and it's titled "Uncovering Why Crowdfunding Is So Hot." And I used 3 T's to emphasize the hotness of crowdfunding at that time. A little bit about Matt, and then he'll get into his background, and then we're going to get into the specific skill that we're going to talk about. Actually, I'm going to pause right there. Matt, was this a skill set Sunday or situation Saturday? Is the skill? I guess the skill is how to build from scratch. Okay,
build a business, yeah, we're good. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, all right. Because it could be a situation too. We'll roll with the skill. A little bit about Matt before we get into it in more detail, and before we get into Skill Set Sunday. He is the CEO of Fund That Flip, which I'm sure you're familiar with because you've been hearing their sponsors ads on the show. And again, he's one of my good friends, and want to support his company as well as a company that I believe in. Fund That Flip is an online lender for residential flips, Previously, he worked at a leading commercial property insurance and risk management firms. He's based in New York City, New York, and he is an entrepreneur at heart. The skill we're going to talk about is how to build a business from scratch, because as real estate investors, we are all entrepreneurs in some form or fashion, and we need to know how to build a business from scratch. With that being said, Matt, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background, and then we'll get into Skill Set Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. And a very, very appropriate introduction, because episode 7, I guess, would be about a year and a half, 2 years ago. So I was very early in my journey through this business, which now here almost 2 years later, we get to talk about how that's gone. So, just thought it'd be kind of worthwhile to, you know, explain a little bit about my background. And I think I've always identified a bit as an entrepreneur as a kid, always had some type of side hustle going. I think my first business was in second grade selling creepy crawlers, which I think I mentioned on the previous one, which was promptly shut down by the school principal. And advanced through grade school with different kind of little side businesses, sold t-shirts through high school, started a landscaping business when I was 16, was able to sell that off to pay for some of college. So kind of always, I guess, thought of myself as an entrepreneur. And as I've gotten older, I've noticed or realized that there's a big difference between having an entrepreneurial mindset or an entrepreneurial drive, if you will, and actually building a business. And a lot of that learning has come over the last couple of years as I've actually started to build a real lasting business. And I think it's just important to distinguish the two. You know, some people, you know, argue, are entrepreneurs born or are they trained? And I think really it doesn't matter. I think entrepreneurs may have a slight advantage if you are born with that gene of building a business. But I do believe really anybody can build a business if they follow some really simple principles, which I hope to lay some of those out that I've learned over the past couple of years. So with that, just a little bit more about the current journey that I'm on. I came up with the idea for Fund That Flip in November of 2012, so more than 3 years ago. And now we're at a point where, you know, we're receiving more than, you know, tens of millions of dollars worth of funding requests each week, each month. We have a functional technology project product that, you know, works to really make the experience good for our borrowers. We have 4 full-time employees. We're, you know, hiring more people as we speak. We've raised multiple rounds of venture capital. And all of that, you know, it feels like it's happened fast, but also I have to remind myself every once in a while that we didn't get here overnight. It was it's been a long journey, and some things that I've learned throughout that journey I'd more or less like to share with you all today.
Oh, I love the foundation you just set, and I have never consciously thought of the difference of having an entrepreneurial mindset and actually building a business, and I'm really excited about this. So what's number one?
Yeah, so the first thing I think, and you hear this a lot, is you got to start with some what I call deep and lasting passion. And the reason I say deep and lasting is that in my mind, it has to be something more than, you know, I really love real estate or I really love, you know, X industry. It has to be something that's greater and almost more altruistic. For me, what it was is, you know, I really boiled this down in my mind. And for me, it's really about creating something, creating functional teams, creating repeatable systems, creating new technologies. And I find that this idea of creating things allows me to exercise my problem-solving skills that I really enjoy exercising, but it also, I have these achievement needs, right? So it also allows me to see meaningful and achieve results that allow me to kind of get through the day. So I think when you're thinking about starting a business and why you're starting that business, it'll do you well to really do some soul searching. And I think it's important that you certainly pick a business that you like and you're interested in, but I think you'll do yourself some favors by actually figuring out what your true passions are that will support those likes or interests. And the reason I say that is, you know, building a business is the hardest thing I've ever done. It will be the hardest thing any of our listeners do today. And liking real estate or liking X will not be really enough to get you through that. You can't really like an inanimate thing like a house. And when you're doing things that you don't like to do, or you're going through a struggle in your business, which you will inevitably have, it's good to have that point of something that is bigger than what you're working on that says, hey, you know, you're not doing this because, you know, for me, it's a real estate business. You're doing this because you're creating something that didn't exist before. And that thing that is really deep and is really lasting has really been kind of the fuel for me that's allowed me to get through some of the tougher times of the business. Whereas if I started this thing just because I liked real estate, I think we'd probably already be onto something else. So I think it's very important that you find your deep and lasting passion. And kind of a tip that I've learned that helped me get to this is find someone that you trust, find someone that's a really good listener, and talk to them about your business and why you want to start it. And before you start the conversation with this person, ask them to just continue to ask you why, right? So why do you want to start your business? And if you give answers like, well, I really like real estate, the follow-up question by them will be like, well, why do you like real estate? And you're going to keep digging down deeper into something that is much greater than real estate. Maybe you like helping people. Maybe you like dealing with people. Maybe you like the creative aspect of taking a house that's ugly and fixing it up. And whatever it is that you land on is going to be so much more powerful than I like real estate. So I think it's very important before you get started to really figure out what it is that makes you tick, write that down, and keep it handy, and go back to it really any time that you find yourself in a moment of, man, why am I doing this? And you'll get back to that moment, and it'll really help you, you know, power through whatever challenge you're currently stuck on.
Did you go through that exercise before you created Fund That Flip, or did you learn that after the fact? And fortunately, Fund That Flip allows you to do some of the things that you enjoy doing.
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. I probably went through this exercise at some point that was at my first kind of come to Jesus moment, if you will, where you're really struggling, and it had a lot to do with the time I first went out to raise money, and I had a very hard time raising money because I couldn't answer that question that a lot of investors would ask, why are you doing this? And it was just a very superficial answer that I was giving them. And it caused me to kind of, I think, you know, look inside and say, Matt, why are you doing this? And sit down and kind of rethink something that was bigger and something that was greater and something that really even goes to building your team and recruiting, you know, smart people to help you grow your business. It has to be something that is a common denominator that a lot of different types of people can get behind. And I think I would have saved myself probably a lot of stress and strife and headache by doing this from day one. But yeah, it was something that I kind of caught myself on almost midway through the business building journey that I was on.
What's number two?
So the second piece is surrounding yourself with a solid team. Starting a business is incredibly hard. When I started the company, I was a solo founder. It's an incredibly lonely place to be. No one really will ever understand the sacrifice and the difficult decisions that you have to make. Your spouse won't understand it. Your family won't. Certainly your friends won't. And you need to find, you know, good people as early as you can to go to battle with. And it'll really help you feel like, you know, someone else is in this thing along with you. Unfortunately, I was able to, again, kind of midway through journey, bring some good people on. And I learned some things going through that process, too. I think the first thing that it can be a mistake for people is they find people that are a lot like them, people that are, you know, their friends and think the way that they think and, talk the way that they talk and have similar backgrounds. I think that's a mistake. You want to find people that complement you, that think differently, that have a different background. Really the goal is to find someone that ultimately will disagree with you on important decisions and challenge you and augment your weaknesses. And to that extent, you kind of also want to be able to find people that you can have those healthy disagreements with, but, you know, they're willing to agree to disagree, if you will, and you need to be able to kind of have those heated discussions and then go out and drink a beer and still be friends afterwards. And this has been a huge thing for me and our business is I've got two partners that are very different than me, and we disagree on a lot, sometimes very heated, but at the end we're laughing and we're joking and, you know, we've got a direction that we, you know, can feel confident because we've given it, you know, full thought. So build your team, but, you know, build it in a way that really looks different than you. And it'll be uncomfortable at times, but that uncomfortableness will be what allows you to really push things forward.
What were some of the difficult decisions you had to make early on?
Some of them, you're looking back, you know, they're not a big deal, but anything, you know, we're a technology company, so how to architect data, right? And how to, you know, think about, you know, what's important to the customer. Some people have very strong opinions on, you know, the lowest prices is important. Other people think it's speed and transparency. So There's just a million decisions, and this is kind of the other thing. There's millions of decisions that you make daily. You don't even sometimes realize you're making them, but you are. And having good people that
can understand kind of what the vision of the company is, and that can make those decisions and feel empowered to make those decisions, but also know when, hey, this is big enough that we need to have a discussion around, knowing that that discussion may be difficult and the outcome of it may be a different direction than what they think it should be. But I think that's kind of an important thing to do. So I don't know if that's a great example of anything specifically, but really when you're starting a business, and someone told me this before, is you know, when you're starting a company, you literally make hundreds of decisions a day, and you need to get 99.9% of those decisions right. Because if you don't, it could sink you. So really surrounding yourself with people that can challenge you on especially some of those bigger decisions will help you get more of those things right, even if it's maybe not the thing that you think is in your heart right. If it's listened to right and fully considered, it may at least cause you to pause and delay that decision until more data can be gathered. So I think that's very important.
With the picking the right team member who will disagree, or not who will always disagree for the sake of disagreeing, but who will disagree whenever he or she believes that there should be a disagreement. How do you walk the fine line of finding someone who is, you know, just, I mean, it's always disagreeing because they don't see things your way, versus disagreeing and it being a productive element, and you know, you're not, you know, stressed out over conversations with them because you know you're going to have opposite opinions.
Yeah, and I think the way that I like to think about it is you like to find people that are principled, right, and have their certain principles. You certainly, you know, don't want disagreements generally about the vision of the company or the direction that the company is headed. You know, I think it's important to get everyone on the same page about, you know, vision and where the company's going and, you know, what we stand for and our mission. But there are different ways to achieve those visions and accomplish those missions. And I think that's where you want the disagreements, on the path to that agreed upon end game. And I think it's also important as a leader of a company to pick your battles and realize that, you know, being right on certain things may or may not really have a material impact on the business, and when it's okay to give someone a win, give it to them. But at the same time, you need to be principled on certain things that you know to be true and to be in the best interest of the business, and hold to your guns on those. But also listen to other people and consider that, if you've done a good job of getting people with good different backgrounds and different perspectives, that they may actually have a perspective and they're seeing around a corner that you're not seeing because of that experience. And it can give you some opportunity to at least pause before maybe you proceed forward and agree to look into it deeper. So, by no means am I saying go out and find someone that just has a combative attitude, and you certainly want people that see your company and your vision the same way you do. But like anything else, there's a thousand different ways to get there. And that's where you want the disagreements to happen, on what's the best path.
With kind of the beginning of a business, the money's tight. How do you determine how to compensate the team members at the beginning? Is it cash? Is it equity? Is it both? And how do you know what the amount is?
Yeah. It's actually one of my points here. I think that really goes into understanding what you need. When I first started the company, I still had a full-time paying job. I wasn't necessarily 100% committed to fund that flip, still formulating a business plan, but I knew that I needed a team, right? So you start to recruit some advisors, some consultants. For me, it was, you know, give them a small piece of the company that they would earn through some efforts, but then also kind of ahead of time agree, hey, if this thing does take off, if I do quit my day job and go full time and we start earning revenue and potentially raise some money, there's going to be a spot for you. And here's what that looks like. Here's your equity at that point. Here's what you'll get paid at that point. There are different ways to even defer compensation. So they're technically earning money, but they don't, you know, actually get paid on it until, there's enough money within the company. So there's a lot of different creative ways to structure that. But it is important to kind of be real about what it is that you need, and being honest with that with your partners or potential partners, with what that is up early. So yeah, I mean, we the,
two of my three partners now both started off as either advisors or consultants. It also gave us a great opportunity to get to know one another better, you know, see how we liked working with each other. And then, you know, as the business grew and started to take off, both of them now have come on full time. So I very much am a believer in you know, in order to build long and lasting relationships, they do take some time to develop, and creating an environment where you can do that relatively risk free is important as well.
Did I kind of segue into number three already with that question?
Yeah. And you know, I think maybe just the last point that I'll make on the team, especially as if, you know, if you're the leader of your team, or the, you know, the president or CEO of the company, and as you're listening to a lot of different people's advice, you know, have advisors, have consultants, you know, certainly have your partners and employees and listen to all of them. But I've come to learn that about 85% of the advice I get is bad advice. And that's not because, you know, they're not smart people, or they're, you know, intentionally trying to lead me astray. It's just because they don't have the full picture like you do as a leader of your company. They don't see the full picture. They don't have all the data that you have. They're not talking to all the people that you're talking to. So it's very important to listen to people, consider what they're saying, take it at face value, take it as true. But then give yourself some time to reflect on that advice and decide on your own what's the good stuff, what's the stuff that should be thrown out because, you know, they didn't have the, you know, all the information they needed to have to make that decision, and then proceed forward with, you know, a plan based upon that. The reason I say that is I see a lot of entrepreneurs. We just went through an accelerator program where we unfortunately saw this more than I would have liked to. A lot of entrepreneurs take bad advice and run with it. Even though they know in their heart of hearts it's not the right thing to do. And then they end up having to, you know, come all the way back and redo things because they listened to that advice. So my last caution on that is, you know, ultimately it is your company, it is your business. Consider that you have probably more knowledge about it than anyone else. You want to continue to add to that knowledge by getting other people's perspectives, but you also need to, you know, develop your filter early so that you can decide what stuff makes sense and which doesn't.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then I think really my last point on business building is just this idea of, you know, it really is a marathon, not a sprint. I alluded to it earlier in the talk that, you know, I'm in year three now of this thing. There's really no quick way, I don't think, to make it big. You've got to build teams. You've got to, you know, to make it quick, to make it big quick, I should say. You got to build teams. You got to build processes. You're learning on the job as, you know, whether it be a leader or a new industry or whatever it is. And approaching it more as a marathon rather than a sprint will help you keep your sanity. One thing that I like to think about is I used to run track, and on the longer races I would pick a point, you know, out 25 meters or so, focus my eyes on that, and just run to that point. Wouldn't look anywhere else. And once I got to that point, I'd look another 25 meters out or so and run to that point, and I'd keep running 25 meters until I got to the end of the race. And in a lot of ways, building a business is the same. Pick your endpoint, understand how long the race is going to be, but set yourself short milestones that you know you can hit in the next week or the next month, and only sprint towards those things. Do the two or three things that you know is gonna have the highest likelihood of really moving your business forward. Especially as you're getting started, you're a one man or a one woman team. There's more things than, you know, there is time in the day to get everything done. Really spend some time focusing on what are the two or three things that I absolutely need to get done in order to move this business forward. And it's an incredibly, incredibly difficult thing to do, because what that means is that you're not doing anything on a lot of the other aspects of your business. And it feels like those things are falling behind. But the reality is if you're really focused on the two or three things that are important that are going to move your business forward, doing those other things don't really matter, because if you don't accomplish these two or three things that move your business forward, you're not going to have a business. So for me, for the last 45, 60 days, all I've been doing is raising money. And that's incredibly hard to do because we're not paying as much attention to our customers and building our tech and a lot of other things that seem to me are falling behind. But I know that if we don't get this money raised, which we're very close to now, none of that really matters, because we have to have. My number one job as the CEO of this company is make sure we don't run out of money. So it's a very difficult thing that takes practice. And if you start practicing it earlier when, your business is, smaller, It'll really, you know, you'll really be able to develop the discipline that as things grow to really just stay focused on those two or three things that matter, as long as you understand the greater, you know, the greater picture, and you understand that this is a long race. It won't feel as frustrating that, you know, some of the other things may feel like they're slipping.
Is there anything as it relates to building a business from scratch? I know we could talk about this for maybe 365 days consecutively, but as it relates to our conversation today, that you wanted to mention to the best ever listeners?
Yeah, I think really the last point is you really need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable financially. You're going to be uncomfortable with the amount of time you're at work. You're going to have to do things and have conversations with people that feel uncomfortable. And you just have to get used to that, a certain level of discomfort. You know, someone told me, I forget where it came from, but you know, the first thing you should do every morning when you wake up is swallow the frog. And what they mean by that is look at your to-do list, determine which thing on that to-do list is the least fun, and do that first. Do the most uncomfortable thing you can do when you first wake up or when you first get your day started. And what that starts to help you do is empower and embolden you to, you know, man, I already had that difficult conversation with a customer. The rest of the day is easy. And you'll start to build up that confidence to be uncomfortable and to do uncomfortable things. And the reality is, if, you know, when you're building a business, you're doing something that's never been done, never been done by anybody. Never been done by you. And to do those things, you just have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. There's so many different good sound bites throughout this conversation. I mean, you laid out the three kind of things that you've uncovered. But before we get into those three, I just want to revisit the first thing that you mentioned, that is, having an entrepreneurial mindset is completely different. Well, there's overlap, but it's different from building a business, because everybody's got a cool idea and everybody's got a neat invention, but to actually build it into something that's profitable and has systems and is long lasting, it takes a different type of skill set than just having a cool idea. And it reminds me of an article I read in Entrepreneur Magazine a while back, and the guy sold a couple companies. I forget who it is, but he sold a couple companies for like $500 million. He's like, give me someone who's better at execution and doesn't have the good ideas over someone who has these great ideas 10 times out of 10. It's all about the execution. And you know, with those three things that you've mentioned, one, start with a deep and lasting passion with your idea. So, you know, it's you've got something that, you know, goes back to entrepreneurial mentality. You've got something that you think's a good idea, but is it long lasting? I mean, similar to if you see, you know, someone of that you're interested in, is it kind of superficial from a physical standpoint, or is it more long lasting? There's got to be something that is substantive there from a long term standpoint. And I love that you gave the tip where if you have the idea about a business, then find someone you trust and who's a good listener, and talk to them about the business, and just have them continually ask you the question, why? Why do you want to start it? Okay, then you answer that. Well, why do you want to do that? And get to the root or the heart of why you are interested in it, and then that will really get you, identify if you want to stay in it or not, or pursue it or not. And I love that you give examples for each one of these, which is really good. That really came to the surface with you when you were raising money for the first time and investors were asking you, well, why are you doing this? And you're like, well, that's a good question. why am I doing this? I think that's something that we all should do with the businesses that we're in, as real estate investors and entrepreneurs. Number two, have a solid team that complements you. I added the complements you after you know, as you continue to talk, because I think that's important. Have a solid team that complements you. They, and by complements, doesn't mean they give you praise, although that would be nice. I'm sure they should when praise is well deserved, but compliments the skill sets that you have. And you know, we've all got strengths, we all got weaknesses. So really fills in the gaps for the weaknesses that we have, because we're not as interested in those areas of the business. And we're, as a result of not being as interested, then you know, we don't have as honed of a skill set in those areas. And then I like how you mentioned a lot of the advice, and you said about 85% of the advice you receive is bad advice. And I think that's really interesting, because a lot of people tend to give advice, but you're right. As far as, from my standpoint, I've seen the same thing where people just don't have the full picture of what we're experiencing building companies, the companies that we're intimately familiar with. And it's easy from the outside in to give advice about what should or shouldn't happen. But quite frankly, most of the time, those giving advice, they just don't know the full picture. And it would be impossible to describe the full picture of everything that's going on and the vision that you have. And I think that's really important point to take down. And to do that, though, what advice do you listen to? Well, you listen to the advice of the advisors that you surround yourself with who complement your strengths, which is what you mentioned. And then lastly, number three, it's a marathon, not a sprint. You had the idea, you mentioned you had the idea in November of 2012. We are now, 2-3 years later, and your company has grown tremendously. You're getting tens of millions of dollars of funding and deal flow, and it's just been from the outside looking in. Again, it looks, oh man, it happened overnight. I didn't know this company, now here they are. But in the background, it's many, many decisions that are needing to take place. In fact, you said hundreds a day. And you need to be right the majority of the time, or 99% of the time. And so with the marathon, not a sprint, focus on the 2 to 3 things you need to do every day and to move the business forward and get them done. So Matt, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing with us the specific skill of what you've learned on how to build a business from scratch. How can the best ever listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can email me, matt@fundthatflip.com. I'm on LinkedIn as well, just Matt Rodak. There's actually not that many Matt Rodak, so I'm sure you can find me there. And happy to answer any questions if I can.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on the show again. Hope you have the best ever weekend.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Did you achieve all your real estate goals in 2015? Well, if you did, congratulations. Fist bump to you. If you didn't, then go to coachwithtrevor.com. Trevor McGregor is my business coach, my real estate coach. He's also been a guest on the show, episode 320. He is offering a free coaching session for the best ever listeners. Just go to coachwithtrevor.com and it'll help you to achieve your real estate goals in 2016. Do you want to make your investment analysis a breeze while making it look like you spent all week working on it? Then go to getrefm.com/valuate. That's getrefm.com/valuate. This is Bruce Kirsch's company. He's the best ever guest from episode 128. The episode's titled Crash Course on Financial Modeling for Real Estate Investing. Go to his company's website. Get the software. You can try it out for free. It's a no-brainer. Getrefm.com/valuate.